It's great to see you all this morning. I want to say thank you again for giving me an opportunity to share with you the Word of God. Would you take your Bible in hand this morning and find with me the 12th chapter of the book of Romans? They call this a fork in the river. There are other names to describe this fork in the river, but it actually is one river dividing into two rivers at one point. This is the river Delkiu in the far east region of Russia. And as you can see, it divides into two large rivers. One of them flows into the Pacific, and one of them flows into the Arctic Ocean. Now, Romans pretty much is like one river that divides into two rivers. You've got the first 11 chapters of the book that present to us salvation in Christ alone. In Christ alone is salvation. What it is and what it isn't. But beginning at chapter 12 and going through the entire rest of the book, you have the effect, or we'll say the effects. What difference does it make once you are saved? So actually what we find here in the book of Romans at chapter 12 is the beginning of the effects. Has the gospel had any effect on you? If so, what are those effects? By the way, folks, I want you to think about cause and effect for just a moment. For those of you who like the sunshine, which I like, and I'm sure most of you like the sunshine, there's the cause, and there's an interesting effect on your brain. And that effect on your brain, I want you to think with me about it, cause and effect, just like we're saying, salvation has effects. The sunlight affects your brain in a number of ways, but what it does is it causes your body to produce a hormone called serotonin. God designed serotonin to transmit messages between your nerve cells. So the effect of the sun upon you is that it should calm you and create more focus in your person. So it affects your mood in essence. So it also has this effect when you cut yourself and there's bleeding. The sun causes this chemical in your body to help your blood to clot. You can agree with me for just a moment? Cause, effect. I want you to think with me today about some of the effects of the gospel. The sun, we'll say, of salvation affects you in a number of ways. The cause, remember, I'm saying is salvation. If there's salvation, there's going to be evidence. If there's salvation, there's going to be effects. Some of these effects we've considered thus far. First one being you present your body to God. Present your body to God as a living sacrifice. Isn't it interesting that the first sacrifice that a Christian must present to his Lord is his body? First effect of salvation is to present your body. You're no longer conformed to the world because you are now thinking carefully about being transformed in your mind. This is an effect of what it means to be saved. I present my body to Him, and then I stop being conformed to the world, and I begin to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Then thirdly, we find in the same passage in Romans chapter 12 here that we are to become sober-minded people. That's what Paul tells us here. So the one we're going to look at today has to do with the body of Christ, and that is to carry out your role as a member of His body. So I've titled from this chapter, Romans 12 and verse number 1, today's message, What Is It That You Do? Lord, thank You for Your Word, and thank You for Your Spirit, and thank You for Your Son. Thank You that there is life in Christ and Christ alone. And Father, even today I say thank You again for saving our souls. And without the salvation, dear Lord, none of this even makes sense. Oh, Lord, we would pray that you would help us to see what you say, Lord, to receive what you say into our hearts, and to do something about it, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We give you the glory, we give you the praise, we give you all the thanks in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So what is it that you do is the question. You see, in the Christian world, there's two bodies in essence. Body number one is your physical body, but there's also the spiritual body that we refer to in the Bible as the church. Now, you may think that your body, your physical body, is not so important. And I know that there are some Christians, there are some Christian writers, there are some Christian preachers that the body is all bad, the bad body is all negative. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches your first responsibility to present your body to Him. But there's a second, there's the spiritual body. I want to talk about the spiritual body, of which, if you're saved, you are now a member. Now, think about it like this. Your physical body is extremely important, but so is the spiritual body. By virtue of salvation, the Bible teaches that you have been placed into His body. I want to say something to you about that today, that in order for God to accomplish His work today, He chooses to use a body. Yes, spiritual body, but it's still a body nonetheless. So I want you to think with me a little bit about, quickly, the following. First, what's your relationship with God? Now that you're saved, begins when you submit, present your body to Him. What's your relationship to yourself? Daily, renew your mind. And then thirdly, your relationship to the Christians around you, daily maintaining a working relationship with the believers of which I am part in the body. So here's the scripture I want to focus with you on today. Look at the fourth verse of chapter 12, and here's the Bible. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Now, I just want to make an observation here. The human body is totally remarkable for a lot of reasons. There's a wonderful book written back in the 80s by a man by the name of Dr. Phil Brandt, Paul Brandt, and his friend Philip Yancey. They wrote an amazing book on the human body called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. It would be well worth your time and effort to read it. Listen to what you are. Please listen to what you are. The human body grows from the fertilization of a single egg. Over 9 months, these cells divide up, functions in exquisite ways. Billions of blood cells appear. Millions of rods and cones, in all up to 100 million cells form a single fertilized ovum. And finally, a baby is born, glistening with liquid. Already his cells are cooperating. His muscles limber up in jerky, awkward movements. His face recoils from the harsh lights and dry air of the new environment. His lungs and vocal cords join in a first air-gulping wail. Within that gray-colored, wrinkled package lies cells, the miracle of ecstasy of community. His life will include the joy of seeing his mother's approval at his first clumsy words, the discovery of his own unique talents and gifts, the fulfillment of sharing with other humans. He is many cells, but he's one organism. All the human beings know that, but especially your 100 trillion cells know that. I understand that the most recent account of how many cells we have in our body, and there's constantly a count taking place for some reason, and that is that there are 37 trillion cells in the human body. Is anybody going to agree with me that that is remarkable in and of itself? 37 times 10 to to the 12th power. That's a lot of cells. You are made up of cells, all kinds of cells, and a lot of them. By the way, does anybody know how many bones you're made of? Anybody can just put their hand up and tell me how many bones you are? Well, one person. You've got over 200 bones in that body of yours. You've got five organs. You've got your brain, your heart, your kidneys, your liver, and your lungs, and muscles. You've got 650 muscles in that body of yours. Now, how many of you think about your muscles all day long? How many of you think about your brain all day long? How many think about your lungs all day long? How many think about how many bones you have all day long? Did you know that if you total up all the body parts, you've got 7,500 body parts in that little body of yours? All by design. Listen to what the Bible says. First, the Bible says every Christian is a limb. Here's what Scripture says. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. You see, this term office here is interesting. We being many are one body, and everyone members one of another. Here in the passage, it says here three times he uses this word members. The word means limbs. The word member is the word limb. You are actually a limb in the body of Christ. Now, I remember this. Nobody else, I'm sure, in the history of the world will ever remember this except me and maybe my mom. But when I was young, I said this before, I was always in a fight with somebody. Well, one day I had permission from school to bring the basketball home to play basketball after school. So it was my ball. I had permission to use the basketball. Well, my buddy John Trentley came by, my buddy saying that in quotes, and after a few minutes, John Trentley, my friend, and I got into a fight. And somehow, I ended up on the blacktop with a smashed, broken elbow. My right elbow got smashed because we were in a bit of a fight. How many of you think that I was thinking about my limb when that happened that day? My mom took me to the doctor, took me to the hospital. I don't know what they all did. They must have x-rayed it and all the rest of it. But the doctor put a cast on my arm, and I had to wear a sling around my neck to hold my arm still. You take your limbs for granted every day of your life. You don't even think about your limbs. You just do your thing every day of your life. That's what you do. That's what I do. You break one, then you can appreciate more when one is broken. Listen, by the way, how many of you think I went back to basketball? All right, how many of you think I went back to fighting? Listen, I don't believe that God wastes any words. When he calls you a limb, he means that you are pretty important to his body. He does not waste his symbols. You are a limb of Christ. Some may be broken. Please remember, sometimes there are some that are broken limbs. But needless to say, I want you to understand what the Bible says. The word member is the word for limb. You might have heard the story of the Scottish woman who came to know the Lord. Some of her friends began to needle her about having faith in Christ. Why, auntie, you can't possibly believe that Jesus Christ has given you eternal life. What if he should let you slip? What if you come to your deathbed and he can't hold you and you slip right through his fingers? She looked at them and she says this, "You need not worry about that. I won't slip through his fingers. I am one of his fingers." Think carefully about the fact, folks, that you are a limb in the body of Christ. That's the first. The second is simple. Verse number 4 says, one body with many functions. Now, interesting, this term office. I want you to see with me what it says here. Many members in one body. All members have not the same duty or function. The word office, Old English for duty or function. But you see, just like this concept of member, this word office carries a moral connotation to it. Think about it. There are those in the military who are fulfilling their military duty. That's the same idea here. There's a moral quality to the members, obviously, of Christ's body. All the members of his body have God assigned responsibility. I'm so glad that God made the human body. He's the creator. He understands perfectly what the body is. But just like every single limb on your body, every single limb in the body of Christ has a specific duty, has a specific responsibility. And every member depends upon every other member. In the body of Christ, every member depends upon every other member. Each member needs the other members of the body. And each member depends upon the other members of the body. So the analogy of the body is like this. Each of your body's members watches over the other members. Anybody have a problem with their eye? Anybody ever get a speck of dirt in their eye? Anybody ever have a bug fly into your ear? What does your hand do? Automatically, your hand somehow just, it's like automatic. It's just like, right? That's what happens. If you had something in your, immediately your hand would go into operation to do something to fix that particular thing. You see what the Bible says? Your limb, a moral limb, you're part of his body. Look what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12. God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no division in the body, watch this, but that the members should have the same care for another. You see, whatever your function is, whatever your duty is, whatever your God-assigned duty is as a member in the Lord's body, the most natural and the most spiritual thing that you can do is care for the rest of the body. By the way, let's take the example of a leg. Let's say you're a leg. Okay, just be a leg for just a moment, all right? What do? Would you agree with me that your legs are important? Would you agree with me that they're necessary? Would you agree with me that the leg has a different function than the nose? Of course you would. Yes, yes, yes. So listen, some of you have no connection with other Christians in the body of Christ. Some of you are lonely limbs. You're doing your thing and you're completely disconnected to the body for some unknown reason. We Christians think that we can manage by ourselves without the body. Listen, folks, if this is the stress of the Bible, if this is the emphasis of the Bible, shouldn't we connect carefully with the rest of the body of Christ? Now, I know many of you are busy. Probably you're too busy. Let's be honest about it. You're the one that needs today's lesson. You're so busy, since you don't need the body of Christ, I want you to think carefully about this, that maybe you're a broken limb and you more so need the body of Christ. You need the message of the Bible. Here's 1 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you're saved, all things are new. If you're saved, there is an effect. There is a result. Among the changes are Paul's comparison here in verse number 4. We have many members in one body. All members have not the same duty or function. Part of the newness is your new place in the world. Part of the fact that you are a new creation in Christ. Your old life is gone. You're now living a new life in Christ. You belong in the body. The body needs you just as much as you need the body, because you're a limb on the living Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes you'll hear this phrase. You'll hear people say, well, I'm going to church. Did you know that's not found anywhere in the Bible? As a matter of fact, did you note that nowhere does anybody go to church in the Bible? Did you know that? We have this modern way of thinking about the church that is not biblical. The biblical is we are the body of Christ. We are the church. You see, it's so important for you to realize that you, as a member of the church, are responsible to the other members of the church. Some Christians, they don't live like they're members of anything but themselves, I guess. And they completely miss out on what God says because it's such a wonder and such an amazing thing that God has made us a body. The body can be healthy and the body can be unhealthy for all sorts of reasons, of course. Please stop focusing for just a moment on whether you're a leg or a nose. Take your eyes off building, off organization, and focus on the fact that you are a vital member, a limb on the body of Jesus Christ. You are the church. You are the Lord's church. You have a new relationship to everybody else that's in the church. Now, I think that you might like this particular story. I heard of a man. He's in a lifeboat. He's out in the sea, and his boat springs a leak. He's got an idea that if he bored a hole under his seat, then the water would then drain out the hole. So he proposed the idea to the others that were in the boat. And he says, look, I'm going to bore a hole over here, and the water's going to now flow out of the boat and go out the hole here. Don't get excited, he says. By the way, he says, it doesn't matter what you think. I think that we should bore a hole in the boat. I'm going to bore a hole in the boat. It's under my seat. It's not yours. Listen, some Christians live like that. They think that they can live their Christian lives apart from contact and fellowship with other members in the body of Christ. That's not the way God planned it. There may be things that are going on into your life that are important, but you don't have to bore any holes in your boat to try to help the rest of us. You need to realize that we are together, one body in Christ. Maybe you're busy. Maybe you're so busy that you don't have to invest time or energy working with the rest of Christ's body. You know what the Bible says over and over again? The little phrase, one another. You know the Bible says pray one for another. The Bible says love one another. You see, the eye always needs the nose. The nose always needs the eye. Whether you're a leg or an elbow or a tongue, it doesn't matter what it is. You're a limb in the body of Christ, and the rest of the body of Christ needs you. So I'm asking you a question today. What is it that you do? What role do you play as a member or a body in the body of Christ? You see, we are members one of another. And I'm telling you, folks, that's God's design. When we reject God's design, we can't succeed, period. It just doesn't work. Individual members in the body of Christ are designed to depend upon other members. You've got 7,500 members in your body. So whatever you are, arm, leg, nose, you need the rest of the body of Christ. Now, I know that there are many places where people put emphasis upon organization as opposed to an organism. Listen, we are an entity, a living entity. The scripture says this. It's so amazing. We have many members in one body. All members have not the same duty. You see, in order for Christ's body to function well, the body of Christ needs your ability. Now, I'm saying so because this morning, folks, because you maybe are not depending upon the body of Christ. Sometimes when people have problems, the first thing that they do is they stay away from the body of Christ. Let me share with you a story. Pastor was visiting a member of a church. Let's see if I have this here. Many members, one body. The members should have the same care for one another. And the Bible says that the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of you. The pastor went to visit some folks. In particular, there was this one man. And the man greeted him at the door, and he didn't say a word to the fact that he hadn't seen him in a long time. But the two sat in front of the man's fire. And as they were talking, the man that he was visiting got to be a little bit unrestful because he had a bit of a guilty conscience. He finally says this to the pastor. He says, I think you can be a good Christian without being involved in the church. The pastor said nothing. He reached out, got the tongs, and he took a coal off the fire and he laid it out on the hearth. And they sat there, watched the fire, and they watched the ember as it turned black before their eyes. The pastor got up, took his hat, and said, have a good day. He didn't say another word. I want you to think about the fact that it's so easy for us to miss out on the warmth and the responsibility, but the connection that you have with other Christians, because you're by yourself. You're the lonely limb, in this case, the lonely coal. Listen, folks, if God's telling the truth here, then you need to identify with the truth and you need to do what the truth says. The Bible says, we don't want to be hearers of the word, we want to be doers of the word. And he's describing the reality here. So you need to revise your thinking when it comes to lining your life up with the rest of the body of Christ. Know this, church is not Sunday morning. Church is not a building. Church is not an organization, although all those things are part and parcel of it. Please remember, church is not preaching, and it's not music on Sunday mornings. The Bible says church is a body. It's got members, and the body has a relationship to all the members, and all the members have a relationship to all the other members. The fact that we're together on Sunday is a good thing. It is. But who are you depending upon throughout the week? Who are you connected with throughout the week? Would you agree with me that many times a Christian will end up just like this dark coal here, because he just simply stayed away from the rest of the members of the body of Christ. Let me finish up with this. Your gift isn't your gift. It belongs to the church. Whatever your gift is, whatever your ability is, whatever your talent is, whatever it is that God has put you in the body of Christ with, listen to the scripture. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And he lists these. Prophecy, prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Ministry, wait on our ministry. Teaching, on teaching. Exhorting, on exhortation. He gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules, with diligence. He that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Some of you have gifts that are necessary to the body of Christ. But you're like the coal, or you're like the broken limb. I want you to realize, folks, some of you have never once offered yourself for participation in the ministry of our church. For some reason, I don't know what it is. Some of you have the gift of compassion. Have you used your gift of compassion with anybody else that you're seeing even right here with us today? Some of you are givers. Have you exercised your gift as a giver? Some of you are administrators. You have the gift of administration. Some of you are teachers. Are you not part of the body of Christ? And isn't the body of Christ needing you? You see, your gift is as much what you are as it is what you do. Paul's words in these verses that he gives are just examples. But listen, the church cannot get along without you. You may think you can get along without the church, but the church can never get along without you. And those who don't use the gifts that God has given in his body are, in essence, hindering the Lord's body from doing what he intends to do. You see, God's way is for the body to function as a body. How would you manage if you had two arms and two legs that were broken? A number of years ago, I do remember a young man coming to school, and he had two broken arms. And I also remember what the principal of the school did. Now, they wouldn't do anything like this today. But the principal took that young boy to every class in the school and explained to them why this boy had two broken arms. He had tried to jump from one wall to another wall. A friend of mine. I didn't do it. He did it. But he broke both of his arms, not his legs, in his jump. But I can still remember the principal taking him from class to class to class, explaining to them how important it was to not jump from wall to wall. And this is what's going to happen if you jump from wall to wall, or whatever, something along those lines. Listen, folks, whatever it is that's going on in your life, don't you think that the body of Christ needs you? Or do you think it's better for you to be your own apart from his church? God's way is for his body to function as a body. You wouldn't manage too well if you had two broken arms or two broken legs. Listen, the rest of the body needs you. You stay away and hoard your gift, the church cannot prosper and it cannot succeed. Here's really the truth of it all, folks. Here's what is far too often the case. A few, in some places, just a few are serving or willing to serve. And those few carry all the weight. Think about two or three limbs taking care of the entire body. Listen, it cannot produce a healthy body. So in light of what the Bible says, I would think that you would sense that you have a need. You have a gift, but you also have a need for the rest of the body of Christ. So what are you going to do with Romans 12, verses 4 to 8 this week? I would think that if nothing changes after you have heard the word, then you are being disobedient. You need to sense that if this is what God says, then this is the way God wants it to be. We're limbs, and we limbs need the other limbs. And we limbs are part of the most important body in the world, the body of Jesus Christ. Can you not see how important you are to his church? You see that God wants you to connect yourself properly to the body of Christ. Father, I thank you that your word is true. And Lord, it's also convicting. It's certainly challenging. It's correcting. And you've told us in the word, dear Lord, that if we would take the word, let it correct us, that having listened to what you say, Lord, we'll do something different. We won't insist on our way, doing our things, but let you have your way with us, Lord. And I would pray for each one that's here today, Lord, that as they have been gifted by you, they are your limbs, oh dear Lord, that they might be fulfilling their responsibility, I pray, as the limbs that you've made them. I give you the thanks, the glory, all the honor, all the praise, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. There's a beautiful hymn that we're going to sing here. It's called